Blog Talk Radio.
With the intent of hopefully being configured to Torat Chaim, instructions of life, Torat Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torat Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert we're the higher inner frequency. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class Program Presentation 716, Anusim on the Rise, Part 21. Blessed is our eternal Creator, Baruch Hashem, Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family experience, 7.5 billion human beings, gleaming and streaming into the creation. This is Anti-Eugenics Radio. With Creator's help, our next program is taking place right now on January 6, 2019, starting at 6 p.m. Holy Land time. And it's actually 6:03 p.m. there now, and it's now 11:03 live from Turtle Island, equals AKA, equals the USA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. Program content will focus on being in discussion with Ezra Nusim, Israeli Amuta CEO, Yafia Bata de Costa, who will raise issues and concerns concerning the already steadily international B'nai Nusim movement, which is growing and flowing with each coming day. You're also welcome to click on the following link, whose efforts are also entail supporting Ezra Lanusim Israeli Amuta at www.artisan, A-R-T-I-S-A-N, create, C-R-A-T-E.com /REF/ A-N-O-U-S-I-M. And to contact Yafia Batya, either after the program or even during the program, although she probably won't see it, the email, you can go to YAFFBATA at Yahoo, YAHOO.com. To participate or merely listen to the program, you can call in at 347-838-8669. And as a bonus, to help anyone catch up to speed with what Yafia Bata de Costa has achieved over the past 20 plus years, blessed souls, you're well advised to go to a YouTube video, which you can click on by going to the promotional piece to today's program. And meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, Children of Israel, collaborating with the children of Noah to remove hatred, jealousy, and competition not needed upon the face of this blessed earth, Yafia Bata de Costa, B'nai Anusim. And in order for us to go further, we have to turn down the music to this wonderful song by a brother from a different home, David Dome. And it's called Take Care, My Son, which came out several years ago. And I think it's a song that any loving parent would want to hear their child hear and learn and internalize the message of this song. But let's just turn down the music. And hopefully, I have to be quite blunt about it. So far, for whatever reason, Yafia Bata de Costa did not call in yet. So in the meantime, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share what I originally intended to share, basically a teaching from a great sage of Israel who lived in a place called Al-Andalus, which was primordial Spain. That was Spain when it was under the reign of the Islamists, the Muslims. This was in the 11th century. And we'll be pulling from his Chovos Levavos, Duties of the Heart, in a particular gate called Shar HaBitachon, the Gate of Trust. And this work, which was penned by Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pakuda, is a very potent type of teaching to which the fact that the Lubavitcher Rebbe had advised more than one individual to learn from the Gate of Trust, and it can empower a person to increase their economic welfare. And unfortunately, we still haven't heard from Yaffa Batya calling in. Hope she will call in. And with that being said, let's go on with this teaching by Rabbeinu Bachya. Now, before we go on as well, I want to dedicate today's program to the elevation of the soul of my dear mother-in-law, Maras Rivka Fartuna, Aleha Shalom, may she rest in peace. Bas Daniel, Aleha Shalom, may he rest in peace, her father. And also for Abocha Tamim Eliyahu Ben Menachem Mendel Hashem Imkom Domo, both in Kitzeron and Shachne Afar, and as well for Maras Shendo Liba, Aleha Shalom, Bas Harav Tzvi Mordechai, Aleha Shalom, whose Shloshim is coming up tonight. So, let's consider seven conditions in creation, blessed souls, which relate to us recognizing and hopefully be motivated to completely immerse ourselves in trusting the Almighty Creator. Because these attributes or conditions cannot be found in any human being, because we don't have the capacity to the extent that the Creator, who is the source of these virtues, these capacities, these attributes, only Creator can possess them. While we can be compassionate, blessed souls, no one is compassionate like the Creator. Rabbeinu Bachya asserts, and we should take this into heart, only one entity, one super being, can be compassionate to all the creations simultaneously. And this is alluded to in King David's Psalms, chapter 103, verse 8. God is compassionate and gracious. Now, we as human beings, with our limitations, we can become neglectful. We can fall asleep on the duty in terms of what is our charge, what is our responsibility as faithful stewards of this earth, but not so by the Creator. As King David brings down for us again and shares with us in his prophetic vision in chapter 121, verse 4, truly the guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Creator never hides himself. We can have a perception or a misperception that Creator is hiding from us, but in fact, it has something more to do with our lack of fully immersing ourselves in our meditations, in our deliberations and sharing this idea with other human beings, that Creator is a super being which is constantly empowering every second of creation. So that's condition number two. Condition number three, no, none of us are all-knowing. None of us are invincible. However, there is one who is all-knowing and invincible. And in the book of Job, or Eov, Job, whatever you want to call it, in chapter 9, verse 4, there is a challenge uttered from Job, Eov, Job, the wise of heart and mighty in power. Whoever was able to stubbornly resist him, meaning Creator, and survive. As well, in the book of Chronicles, book 1, chapter 29, verse 11, it is written, yours, God, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. That was condition or quality number three. Quality number four is that Creator only has the ability, not human being, to rule over conduct of a human being from the beginning of a human being's existence and the development of the human being's existence. And the testimony to back up that statement, as Rabbeinu Bachya wants to instruct us, is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 6. Is he not your father who created you, who made you and established you? And King David amplifies this idea, this prophetic eternal instruction from Psalms 71, verse 6. I have been supported by you from the womb, from my mother's belly, you removed me. That was attribute or quality number four, blesses us, that Creator guides us and leads us on from the beginning of our existence and our continuing development. Now, here's something which many people might come and battle with, this type of consciousness, Torah consciousness, that all forms of gain and loss, strictly controlled by a human being, but ultimately in the hand of the Creator alone. And in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37 to 38, gives ample testimony to this. Who has spoken, and it came to pass, unless Creator has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and evil come? And also from the Navi Agula, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 8, grass dries up, flowers wither, but the Lord, the word of our Creator stands forever. Another humbling concept to take to heart, blessed souls, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 7, surely people are but grass. That was quality number six. Now, we can be generous as human beings, and we can be kind, of course, on the human level. But can we absolutely say that our generosity is universal? Can we say our kindness embraces every human being? I wish it was so. I wish I could emulate such an attribute. But this is only truly in the realm of the Creator, blessed souls. As Rabbeinu Bachya wants us to know, that the universal generosity is solely in the realm of the Almighty, Eternal, Loving Creator. And the one who is all-embracing is the one who spoke and the world came into being. Testimony given concerning this is borne out in chapter 145, verse 9 in Psalms. Creator is good to all, and his mercy is upon all his works. Also in Psalms chapter 136, verse 25, who gives food to all flesh, for his love endures forever. And again in chapter 145, verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy every living thing with blessing. So these are seven attributes or seven qualities, seven conditions that are solely, ultimately in the realm of Creator, blessed souls. We can, on a microcosmic level, emulate in some way, but how puny and tiny are our acts? And since they are so puny and tiny, so hopefully we will be more motivated to, in fact, seek to do more and more and more acts of kindness in order that we can tap into the source of all of these seven qualities or conditions. Now, in the realm of Hasidus, blessed souls, Creator is beyond any type of human definition, because we can only define Creator according to our intellect and reason. Of course, we can experience Creator through our trust and faith, but still, we kind of put the Creator in a box. But Creator is beyond intellect. Creator is beyond reason, beyond, way beyond what we call faith and trust. But we can know Creator and the attributes of Creator, what Creator has transmitted to us through the eternal Torah. And that's basically the challenge that we face in our generation and every generation since the giving of the Torah over 3,331 years ago, 3,330 plus years I believe it will be the 3,331st time this coming Shavuot, the time of Matan Torah. That will be in the early summer. So with that being said, let's just review quickly these seven qualities that can empower us to increase our trust in Creator. Only Creator on the level of Creator is compassionate, loving. The Almighty loves you, and He wants your good. The Creator does not neglect any aspect of the creation. Creator cannot go to sleep. Creator will get the job done. Invincible. Nothing can stop Creator from fulfilling the wishes of Creator. All-knowing. The Creator will ensure that all outcomes are good. Exclusive care. The Creator has always exclusively taken care of you and you and you, whether you be in Japan, and welcome to our new listeners in Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan, and also to our new listeners in Zambia and Africa. Creator is always and will exclusively take care of you. He won't stop taking care of you. We are in Creator's hands. It is only Creator who can do it all, and generous and kind, even if we are not deserving. Creator is generous. So, unfortunately, we've gone about 30% in today's program, and there must be some logistical matter of urgency that caused Yafi Batya not being able to call into today's program. I don't know what it is. As I am speaking to you, I'm going to send her a private message through Facebook. So as I do so, blessed souls, again, I'm just going to review here. Maybe I'll just whip out a little spontaneous tune for you as I do so. Well, I've sent out the message to the Yafi Batya, blessed souls, and well, if she's not going to be able to appear today in today's program, well, there must have been a good reason, and Hashem should bless her in her efforts, whatever she's been delayed by and not being able to participate in today's program. So this is something I've been thinking about for a little bit that I wanted to share. Not necessarily when we're talking about the B'nai Anusim, which I'll leave it up to Yafi Batya the next time, but with the help of the Most High, that she can come on the program, is that there is a powerful prayer that was taught to us by a prophetess who was the mother of a prophet. Who was this mighty prophetess? Her name was Hannah, or I guess you would say Hannah in English. And with 10 verses, she put together a prophetic prayer that our sages of Israel have stated is one of the most fundamental means by which one can express oneself in gratitude, in awe, and in love, and fear of the Almighty Creator. So this is a prayer that she uttered after the birth of her only son, a future prophet of Israel, who anointed the first two kings of Israel, namely Saul, King Saul, and David, King David, Sha'al HaMelech and David HaMelech. So since that, for whatever reason, Yafi Batya doesn't seem at this point, now we're almost 40% of today's program, not going to come on, I would like to share this prayer with you that Hannah composed. I'm just queuing up because we like to have a song to go out with today's program. And I'll just cue that up and then we'll go to the prayer. excuse me, for today's glitches. You know, there's Murphy's Law. Well, this is Don's Law. Okay, let's just pull that up. I guess we'll sing again a little bit more. And there's no internet. That's interesting. I'm using a temporary computer. I hope that's not. This is not the reason why we've had difficulty connecting with Yaphet Bata da Costa today, the head of the Israel Amuta B'nai Anusim movement, concerning her organization. That's Anusim, Israel Anusim, Israel Amuta. Okay, so here's the prayer of Chana. And you have to go to the Book of Samuel. So you can read it yourself, blessed souls. It's in English. It's in all different types of languages. But I'll also be distilling for you some oral Torah traditions to help bring out some deeper aspects of this prayer. The prayer starts like this. Or the verse starts in chapter 2, verse 1 in Book of Samuel 1. Hannah prayed to Creator and said, quote, "My heart exalts in Creator. My triumph is from Creator. I can now speak before my enemies, for I rejoice in your salvation." Now, in the Book of Samuel, book 1, already she was written about as uttering a prayer before she became pregnant with her future son, Samuel the prophet. And so this is her second prayer. And this is a prayer of thanks, but also involves different types of emotions that it would be behoove us to learn more about these intentions of the prophetess Hannah. The foundation of this prayer, blessed souls, is that Hannah invests all of her energies in testifying through her prayer that the world is completely in Creator's hands, which we talked about just before, from the seven qualities that are solely in the realm on the divine level, universal, ever-expansive level of the Creator. And at the same time, too, the Creator who is beyond us allows us to have a connection, a kesher between us and Creator. And Ishkacha Pratis, Divine Providence, will bear testimony that all is known before Creator, whether it be the degradation of the downtrodden, the shedding of innocent blood, and even intimate controversies or intimate conversations that take place in one's home between a man and a woman. And the matters that transpired in the house of Hannah, who was married to Elkanah, and Elkanah took a second wife by the name of Penina. In it, there was some sort of insight that Hannah picked up on that she felt would have an instruction that give us some sort of insight into the events that can transpire in the world and for all of humanity. Meaning, the mighty hand of Creator, Hashkacha Pratis, Divine Providence, works to reinstate matters to their top proper place. Proper rulership should transpire. So her prayer is, as our sage of Israel have taught us, is a spirit of prophetic insight, which gives her the ability to evaluate things precisely as they are. And that all of her words conform to all forms of divine providence in many periods. Yes, there is a subjective perspective that her prayer is or was and always will be based on her personal experience, and teaches us that just as, and this is a very important point, she attained her wishes by means of prayer, this empowers all human beings for future generations that you can attain your wishes by praying sincerely and deeply and with tears and in joy with Creator. For such are the laws within this blessed creation that if decrees are made, prayer can break those decrees. Therefore, our sages of Israel teach us that if you study the structure of the prayer of Hannah, it is a model for all future prayers to be elicited and uttered by human beings. Chapter 2, verse 2, in the book of Samuel 1, none is holy as you. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our Creator. Where Hannah instructs us, there is nothing holy like Creator. This is referring to a certain type of ruchnius, spirituality, which is way beyond the realms of anything that we human beings can perceive as spiritual. Devoid of anything of the baser and lower elements of this creation. And where she asserts there is none besides you, when we associate with others, and as others do not have out for our best interest, they might try to influence in a way that is negative. But no one can influence the Almighty Creator, blessed souls, not one human being. We can become flawed by our associations. Anything that connects to the Creator, whether it be on the inanimate level, whether it be on the vegetative level, whether it be on the animal level, whether it be on the human being level, none can generate a flaw within Creator. Where Hannah asserts that there is no rock like our Creator, the word rock in Hebrew, tzur, connects to two different meanings, two different types of concepts we should be aware of. Either rock, but tzur also can imply strength. It can also imply drawing, and the one who did the drawing is the creator of that drawing. There's no strength by creator. What multinational Fortune 500 corporation can form a star millions and millions and if not billions of miles away? What entity, what superpower could take down a planetary body? No such thing. There is no creation or anything which can affect the holiness and the loftiness of Creator. And the Creator can do anything that Creator wants with this world. Chapter 2, verse 3, do not increase with boasting. Let not arrogance pass your lips, for the Creator is an all-knowing God. By Him deeds are measured. It appears from this point from the teachings of our Israelite sages that Hannah was directing her words towards someone who was taunting her, namely in the form of her rival, Peninnah. Now, earlier in the book of Samuel, the commentators mentioned that the first wife of Elkanah, who was a Levite, was Hannah, and that she became barren, just as in the tradition of the humility of our matriarchs, when Sarah initially was not able to bear a child for Abraham or Avraham, and Rachel was not able to bear a child for Jacob, Israel. They both offered other women that through those children to be born to those other women, namely Hagar was given to Abraham at the suggestion, the advice of Sarah, that if Hagar were to bear a child, that Sarah could try to raise her son Ishmael. And Rachel, through one of her maidservants, would also bear children, and Rachel could be involved in raising them because she, up until that point, was not barren. Eventually, of course, Sarah would have Yitzhak, Isaac, and Rachel would have Benjamin, and of course, Joseph, the righteous one. But what Hannah also mentions in this portion of the prayer, if one is prepared to accept a heavenly judgment in her case, one doesn't just have to say, well, in her case, she could not have children up to a certain point in her marriage with Elkanah, that she should lovingly accept all the judgments. No, there is still a place for weeping and penitential prayer, because she was suffering as any fully functioning, normative thinking woman would feel like they are being held back from the blessings of motherhood, if in fact they feel that they're ready at that particular time to become a mother. Therefore, Hannah encourages the suffering human being, in this case, the form of a woman, to pour out his or her heart before Creator. For that is the wish of Creator, that a person submit his or her heart and call out to Creator. Now, for those who would, the one who was suffering, trying to imply that it's justified their suffering, if the words of rebuke come out in an arrogant fashion, is it that person coming to a realization, a true perception of why a person, another person, is being held back from blessings? Or are they using that as a front for expressing their own egotistical, self-generated perceptions? Therefore, in this verse where it says, "For the Creator is a God all-knowing," Creator knows the thoughts behind one's actions. Before we act, we think. Before we think, Creator knows what we're going to think. Therefore, when one is in distress and wants to alter judgment, on one hand, it might seem to be rebelling against the decree and not accepting the will of Creator that such a person should not bear children or have some other good they feel they should have to go through their life. If one is suffering, the intent is that by praying out of suffering, one is calling out to Creator, "I recognize this suffering is coming from you, Almighty Creator, and I ask you now to bring me to the side of merit and to bless oneself, to bless yourself, myself, everyone, to call out in crying and suffering in order that we should see deliverance, in order I can give thanks to you, Creator." Chapter 2, verse 4, "The bows of the mighty are broken, but the stumbling are clothed in sudden strength." Let's consider nature, blessed souls. Nature seems to have fixed laws. But when it comes to human life, sometimes those laws seem to evidence a certain instability. You see that there can be a mighty person, but in battle, suddenly his bow, like, you know, talking about ancient weaponry, with bow and arrow, his bow is broken. On the other hand, we could see someone who stumbles through their life, who doesn't seem to possess the attributes of strength and power, yet suddenly fortified by Creator's will, can come up in accomplishing something great. If something happens to upset the apple cart in our life, we're not here to celebrate the overturning of our allegorical apple cart. But perhaps in the teachings, the elucidation of the prayer of the Hannah is that perhaps our apple cart is what we were trusting in instead of the source of the apple cart or whatever that goodness is, and therefore we have to turn back to Creator. Chapter 2, verse 5, in Book of Samuel 1, "Those once sated must hire out for bread, but those once hungry may cease their labors. The barren woman bears 7, but the woman with many children is wretched." So commenting on "those once sated," you know, we all rely on our food supplies, but we know at times those food supplies, even in the West, how much more so in places which, unfortunately, the logistics of delivering food in a timely and consistent manner to impoverished countries are extremely unstable. We can develop a certain type of disconnect from the fact that it is only because of the grace of Creator that we have a plentiful bounty of food constantly available to us. But in a split second, that bounty can come to an end. It can be that those who were previously sated and satiated can suddenly turn to have to hire themselves out to backbreaking work, not even pulling out a bare minimum wage in relation to what they used to earn, and hiring out just to earn their daily bread. It can happen because perhaps they don't have the skills to work at a position that would make them more money, or there's no demand for the type of talents that they have. So they do what they have to do. And then there are those who are hungry, and their hunger may cease because out of nowhere, a source of income came to them. Just as a woman who is unable to have children starts to build, not just bear one child, but child after child after child, even though by the laws of nature, it originally appeared that she would never have children. And then there are women who have borne many children, and Hashem Yirachem, Hashem have mercies, have lost them in the stretch of time. The humbling realization, which comes out of chapter 2, verse 6, in the book of Samuel 1, verse 12, in the prayer uttered by Prophetess Hannah, Creator takes life and gives life, cast down to the grave and raises up. And all sorts of blows we can incur in our lives, blessed souls. There's the sudden death experience, and then there's the gradual diminution of one's powers and potentialities and intellect and emotional capacities. There are women who have given birth and died suddenly after birth, unexpectedly. There were those who were sickly and gave birth, and their sickness continued for some time and then passed on. There were those who were cast down to the grave and at death's door, but did not die at that time. Ultimately, what this verse is referring to, blessed souls, as Chana spoke about casting down to the grave and raises up, is ultimately the Techiyas HaMeisim, that wondrous period that will hopefully manifest soon in our days, where Kitzuron HaShachnei Afer, those who lie in the dust shall rise up and sing songs of jubilation. Chapter 2, verse 7, Creator makes poor, makes rich, humbles and elevates. Chana was addressing to the fact that there could be changes in one's life from one extreme to another. A person can suddenly be dispossessed of his or her wealth. May we never know of such things. And be forced to utter an undignified poverty. At the same time, too, those who have been humbled and lived undignified lives can be raised up to tremendous positions of influence and affluence. This is ultimately in the hands of Creator. Chapter 2, verse 8, He raises the poor from the dust, impoverished from the dung heaps, to seat them with the mighty, apportioning the seats of honor to them. For the foundations of the earth are Creator, and He set the continents on them. The foundations of the earth, blessed souls, that she speaks of. Again, there are laws of nature. And as I heard from one Torah sage, Rabbi Eden Evan Yisrael, that when we talk about nature, it's where Creator, in our teeny tiny microcosmic awareness, consciousness, perceptions, we see less of Creator, so we think it's more just on the physicality, the rules of nature, the laws of nature, the mechanics of nature, the quantum physics of nature, the mathematics of nature, the biology of nature. But these foundations have been granted power from the Creator, and these foundations have all their activities delineated as to why they are in such a place. Yes, this world has fixed physical laws, which Creator established these physical laws of what are the foundations of the earth. when humanity is conducting itself according to its proper service as faithful and trustful stewards of the Creator, the resources of the laws of nature become at the disposal of human beings. And in the midst of all this, in every generation, righteous souls arise to guide us toward this period of peacefulness and plenty. Chapter 2, verse 9, he guards the steps of his pious ones, but the wicked ones are cut off in darkness, but man does not prevail with strength. Again, going back to this idea that there are laws of nature which dictate that there are fixed foundations on within this physical earth, which are affected by the laws of nature, but righteous souls are not affected, or the pious, the chassidim, although they are subject to these laws of nature, they are not ravaged by the laws of nature. They see the laws of nature as being basically a garment covering over the revelation of pristine godliness coming through it. But when it comes to the wicked, who are cut off in darkness, as Chana spoke about, they grind their teeth in anger and anguish and jealousy and hatred towards the righteous, because they don't even realize, conscious level, that they are being cut off from the paths of life, because they are acting in a way which is causing them to be cut off from the ways of life. Finally, in the last portion of this prayer of chapter 2, verse 9, Chana is not saying that there's no worth to strength, as she says, for a man does not prevail with strength, but rather one cannot prevail merely on one's physical strength, even one's mental strength or spiritual strength. There is ultimately in the hands of the Creator. But again, we have a free will to choose what is good, what is right, what is righteous, and what is the opposite of all those qualities. We cannot force the issue, but we can connect to ideals, concepts, consciousness, blessed souls, which in fact will lead us to a better day. The last verse of this prayer by Prophetess Chana, God's foes are broken, he thunders over them in heaven. God judges the earth to its uttermost part, grants power to his king, and raises the strength of his anointed in triumph. In verse 4, Chana spoke about the bows of the mighty, which we talked about before. Person possessing the strength to pull back the arrow and the bow, suddenly he can find his or her bow shattered in two. And therefore the effectiveness, the potency of their attack on their enemy is undermined. So too, the bows of the mighty is hinting to us there are those who try to force their agenda in the human experience of interpersonal relationships. But this type of individual who, when they try to bring their own personal agenda into interpersonal relationships, generating, unfortunately, the antecedent for a dysfunctional type of relationship, and even if there's a break in the relationship, to generate a dysfunctionality upon the person who they inflicted their force upon that relationship that particular time, the Creator will break them of their efforts, future efforts, to continue to foster improper personal relationships. As well, Chana is hinting to those who rebel against Creator. The very fact that there are Rishoyim, wicked people in the world, blessed souls, who rebel against Creator's desire that this world be a sustainable creation, would seem to hint that there's a separate realm of sovereignty outside of the Creator's sovereignty. It's just the opposite. For Chana teaches us, the enemies of Creator will ultimately be broken. And even if it seems that they are getting stronger and stronger and more invincible, there is a thunder which calls out from heaven. Those are the decrees against those who rebel against Creator. just as the sound of thunder catches all of our attention and raises the strength of his anointed, as Hannah concludes in her prayer, no one can question the authority of a human being, he or she, who has been anointed by the Creator after he or she has arisen to his or her lofty position. And I was anointed, this refers to the great person, that eventually they will step forward and become, within the context of the Torah teachings, a lasting savior for Israel, whereas the period of judges that the prophet Samuel, her son, would emerge from, to the era of the kings, when he would anoint King Saul, ultimately King David. The judges had been short-lived saviors to bring restoration of hope and justice to the land, in the Holy Land. And it was the kings of Israel who would bring long-lasting. Now, unfortunately, there were rebellions against the kingship of Israel. And there was conduct by ancient kings of Israel, antithetical to Torah values. However, blessed souls, we are hoping and praying with pining eyes and longing souls, we are going to see very soon in our days the emergence of a righteous soul who will be thoroughly immersed in Torah to reveal to each one of us, myself included, insights into Torah that have never been revealed even to the likes of the prophets of old, of Israel, of King David, of King Solomon, of even Moses himself. Yes, levels of instruction even Moses himself was not privy to receive at Mount Sinai. An amazing thing when you think about it. Moses, who received the totality of the Torah, yet even the Moses, the mighty Levite prophet, shall be ultimately instructed as well and guided by the righteous Mashiach. So, we're going to now try to end today's program with Yeshiva Diaspora Band, and hopefully in the near future, we're going to reunite with Yaffe Batikasta, who is again the CEO of Lanusim Israeli Amuta. And you can connect to Yaffe Batya by going to yffbatya@yahoo.com. And you can also buy fine products from the Holy Land by going to www.artisancrate.com/REF/ANOUSIM, and a portion of your purchase, which should be done on a monthly basis, will go towards supporting the tremendous efforts, the great self-sacrifice that Yaffe Batikasta and others like herself in the last 20 plus years have engaged in, when in fact all of this is a precursor to the great incoming, the great prophecy, promise that was given to us, that all the 12 tribes of Israel shall in fact return to the Holy Land, being manifested, hopefully speedy in our days, that the righteous members of the nations of the world, otherwise known as the Bnei Noach, will in fact want to participate in this process of assisting and collaborating with the children of Israel to remove hatred and jealousy and competition, which is not needed upon the face of this earth. So we're going to go out and segue out with a song, in a way, of Ahava Chad, one love, Goyel Chad, one that's equivalent for all of us, the Darkenim Darki Shalom. I've got to do good, you've got to do good, blessed souls. This is the Diaspora Band, live, dreams come true. Take care, everyone.